This is FM 2.0 with the Don, Dean, Stormy, and the Grizz. Forever music.
The man of the... How are you? Are you in there? There's your box. How are you?
Hey. I'm the man in the box. Hi. Thank you. I'm the man in the box. Oh, I was looking at the... God, that was the wrong way. I was looking at the upper
corner. It's always, you know, I was just trying to get hair out of my face, and it's backwards, and you end up touching the wrong side of your head. You're like, wait, it's backwards.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I'm sorry my backlighting is god-awful, but my lights don't work here in the garage, which is the only place I can get to somewhat quiet.
Well, you heard them say that they played with you in Madison. You know, I actually watched that show. I watched the video of it, the performance when you guys did poems and just watching the crowd still react to that song.
Right.
I saw, and what I wanted to ask you was, I saw the comment in there that a lot of times bands don't like playing the song that got them big or is very popular. Maybe you're sick of playing it. You seem to love it still after all these years.
Well, yeah, that's the go-to. Why wouldn't we play it? That's the whole idea.
Yeah.
I get it. No, there's some bands, though, that'll go like, I'm not playing that. Like Soundgarden went through that with Outshine. Like, they wouldn't play it live. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Soundgarden. We're Taproot.
That's right. Well, it's great to have you, man. I like your music. I was sharing it today, that the Scissors album, it's fantastic.
No, thank you. Appreciate it.
Every track on there is incredible. The faces he's making.
I was scared.
I know. That's what I'm laughing at.
What are you scared of?
I've, you know, listened to critiques and stuff. I'm totally I'm fine with the bottom of the barrel. Like, I love, like, my favorite videos are people mocking me and stuff. Like, that makes me so happy. But at the same time, no, I mean, Poem was what got us to where we were. And if there's that many people that like the song, why would we not play that song? But the new record... Right. I love personally. So,
I think it's phenomenal.
It is.
I was sharing it today with people. Like, I was like, you gotta hear this. I mean, every song.
Dude, I appreciate that. Dude, I wrote most of that record back in 2012 or 13 before we took the long hiatus. But I spent 6 years in the studio alone making this record. So, if you like any of it, then I'm happy. If you don't, then that's fine. But anyone has their own opinion. But if you like it, sweet. If you don't, just make fun of me. I don't care.
No.
What I dig about it, so I'm a huge concept album fan, just partly because of the layers, the ability to work with different textures. And it seems like the deeper I listen, the more I could hear those textures, and just very well produced, well thought out, very good.
Well, thank you. It was me on my own, mostly at like 5:30 to 10:30 in the mornings once a week. That's why it took me 6 years. Like, I did the math because I did it on my own. So if we were like the full band and did it 16-hour days for 2 months, it equals the exact same as 6 years of 4 hours a week.
So then who are your influences? Because you spent a lot of time listening very deep in the production of it, I can tell. So who influenced you?
Well, obviously growing up, I had influences. Like, I've been listening and living with these songs for Scissors record forever. Like, I wrote those so long ago, for the most part. There's two or three newer ones. But growing up, obviously, I was like a death metal kid. I was fortunate enough to play with Ozzy, all that stuff. But growing up, I was a drummer starting when I was a tiny kid, so I grew up playing to Slayer and Sepultura and all that crazy stuff. But okay. Obviously, at the end of the day, I taught myself to play guitar to Alice in Chains' Dirt, which is crazy because I ended up starting to sound like Lane, with going with all the triple harmonies and all that. But that's one of the new songs called Favorite Song on the new record, the single with Elias from Nonpoint. That's the ironic part is that I couldn't sing one Dirt song, Alice in Chains Dirt. I would not be able to sing one song without looking at a karaoke screen to sing it, because I didn't even realize until I almost got to work with them that that whole record was basically about him starting to die and all the heroin stuff. Mm-hmm. So to me, that was after the fact. But when it came to the important days, you know, it was Alice in Chains. It wasn't all just, you know, alternative stuff. But growing up, it was the heavier stuff. Everything, like, it's so hard to explain, but Alice in Chains Dirt by far steered my life in a different direction, because I could play the drums, like, hey, I'm probably better than Sean, sorry Sean, on drums, but but I also taught myself to that. Obviously Jerry's a great guitarist and all that, but it was easy enough to teach myself to. And then with working with Toby Wright on Welcome with Poem, that's where the three-part harmonies came in. I used to do just the normal two, but then that changed my life. So now I'm just dead set on ruining people and covering my own voice up, because it's annoying as hell. So I'll just stack it like a mother effer. I don't know if we're swearing or not, but
you know, you can.
All right. So then one more question, because again, I love the production. How many different mixes, if you had to guess? I mean, were you able to get your mix nailed first go around, or are we talking like 20 different mixes, 30? How many different mixes did you go through?
Oh, dude, I finished recording the record probably a year and a half ago. And apparently the way I mix is I like to hear stuff in my car, how I like to hear it. And apparently that doesn't include enough mid frequency levels, because I was always just low end, high end. There was like no content to it. So we had a guy named Matt LaPlante come in and like help out. Tim Padlin at the loft where I recorded the record. Oh shit. The last three records we did, he'd help out, but knew I was doing it on my own. But then I didn't realize until everyone was like, so when are you going to mix it? I was like, oh, I thought I mixed it. I apparently didn't realize that there was a mid frequency. I just wanted the crispy crackle and then the low end, like hit you in the butt. And apparently there's a mid range. Like when I tune or, you know, play guitar and, you know, crank stuff on my amp, I'm just like, crisp your ears and bass. Screw the mids. But apparently that's not how most people hear it. So I learned what, 7 months ago when Matt actually kind of took over and mastered
Christmas and don't just,
I agree, Stormy. Thank you. Well, yeah, you have the right idea.
I do.
Stormy knows. Well, speaking of Elias, because Elias has been on here a few times too, and
right on,
it was a great fit on that song. In fact, what I wanted to do is I wanted to play a clip of this song for everybody watching, if you don't mind. It's this moment at 125 that really hit me, just musically. So what I do is I hit mute for the echo. Everybody here that's going to be watching, I know there's a lot of people on TikTok watching right now. So welcome. I see you there. We're going to play a little bit of this. This is Favorite Songs, the video, Elias from Nonpointed, isn't it? It's such a great damn song, too. I had it on repeat. Yeah, so here we go. Let's play a little bit of this now. This is Favorite Song.
Nothing.
Right, that in the one part of the song. Oh my god, that little, I don't know if you call that reverb, but god, that reverse sound that you had in there, that that killed me. I was listening to it. Such a great tune, man.
Well, that's cool. Thank you so much. And again, while we're talking seriously, I apologize for my screen visibility.
What, you right now? You see your phone?
Yeah, we can see it's you fine.
I'm pretty sure I was like spinning Spotify favorite song just for fun to try to get one more spin. I have a TV on just to give me a glare so you can see me. But no, the favorite song, that's, it's very special to me. And it's like crazy that it's not like, obviously nothing is easy to get hella big these days. But the whole point of the song is literally, you can't ask me what the song is about. The whole point. I don't know the lyrics to my favorite song. Even Alice in Chains, Dirt. I know how to play the guitar. I still need to look at karaoke. That song, if anyone knows it, you'll just sing along, because it literally says, I don't know the lyrics to my favorite song. So it's a given. What's that song about?
It doesn't matter. As long as it plays, you play those high highs and those lower thumps, and it could be Little Mary Had... Little Lamb. Mary Had a Little Lamb. It could be those lyrics. How's that work?
Well, right, right. And then after that, like you're saying right now, like when I hear row, row, row your boat gently down the stream, but it ends up saying life is but a dream. And then you're like, what the fuck? Life is but, like, why is that a song? It's telling you that everything's fake. Like, what the hell?
Right.
Merrily, merrily.
Never thought of it that way.
Oh, re-listen to it and just be like, oh, this catchy song. And then it's like, life's fake.
Childhood ruined.
Yeah. Miserable.
Wow. What a song, though. I mean, it really... musically, though, it's just so well done. Like Dean was talking about, like the way the production is. And then when Elias comes in and does his part, oh my God, that's just awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, we were blessed. You were talking about, you watched the Madison show. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I saw you perform that Madison show. And when you got, and you grabbed a phone, like you grabbed someone's, like a phone got grabbed and you were filming there. And that show, but it was just, the energy of the crowd still when you play that song, everyone goes off.
And that was probably the second or third time we ever played that song at all. Cause like Phil, the bassist, has known that song for a long time, but never actually tried to play it. He only knows the demo that I wrote a decade ago. And then we have our new guitarist, Taylor, who's amazing. He'd never played that song whatsoever, but we hadn't played it much, but Elias from Nonpoint, Madison, was the first time he got up on stage and sang it with us. And it was amazing. We've only done it twice with him, Madison at Machine Shop and Flint, but it's different. It's cool. Like when we played that song everywhere else that we're playing, you know, random shows, I always try to get like a local opener to do it just so they get to have fun too, more than just like, hey, you know, we brought some people for you, thank you very much, but do you want to rock out with us? Cool. Like it's cool. I love that.
You know, I don't know if you saw this comment here, but you know, speaking of lyrics, you know, it is pretty macabre too. When the bow breaks, the cradle will fall, and down will come baby, cradle and all.
Yeah,
you're right, man. We were just loaded with macabre lyrics as kids.
Dude, you should hear the stuff I'm working on right now. God, I can't remember. I can't think of it. Oh, Wes Anderson, not the director, but I'm working on a guest vocal feature right now, which is very Lyrically, not too macabre, but ideally very macabre, and it's pretty cool. I won't promote it yet. It's not done, but no. I'm working on one of the creepiest tracks I've ever tried to do. I'm working on it.
Creepy's cool.
Yeah. It's a bad topic, but it's sweet.
I heard you're not very far from me. You're in Ann Arbor, right?
Where are you at?
I'm in Gladwin.
Oh, really?
Michigan. Yep. A
little bitty. I'm sorry. Why are you here? What the hell? What a mess. Is it snowy for you right now?
It's very snowy for me right now. In fact, I was just sending them texts earlier. My whole front lawn is nothing but snow and down the driveway. And it was 14 when I woke up this morning.
Oh, yeah. Sounds right. Who the fuck's shoveling for you? Oh my God. Do you have a snow plow or anything? My gosh.
Just my shovel.
Oh, that's sweet. Take care of yourself.
Stormy is DIY.
That's right.
DIY kind of go. You know, as big as you guys have gotten, it seems like every time you return to the machine shop, like you playing the machine shop's got to be amazing too, still, right?
It is. No, that's like our home venue. Like, we're not from Flint, but in 2000, we were on tour. It was Papa Roach's first tour and Taproot's first tour. So we did like the van thing for like a month and a half. The first show was Papa Roach, Sacramento. The last show, they let us headline in Ann Arbor. It was the only club in Ann Arbor that we could ever play. We made the club as far as like monthly. You know, we'd play it once a month, sell it out, and they'd have fun. But they didn't treat Papa Roach well that night. So I ended up almost inciting a riot. I had a hockey buddy on the SWAT team who got a 404, not a 911. But the entire crowd just ended up being it literally was a riot without the SWAT team. It was amazing. So we got banned from there. And then Flint. Machine Shop and Flint became home for sure. But it is the best club in the United States to play. Club.
I will tell you that no matter where you are, if you bands, that's like a staple if you can get into the Machine Shop.
Yep. Oh, yeah. 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 No, Kevin, the owner, is amazing. The club environment is amazing. It's the lackluster until like maybe 7 years ago or whatever. They finally got like a dressing room. I don't know what to call it, like a trailer type of thing. But before that, it's like a tiny room. It's like 6x12, which is where Kevin's doing his work. It's got a fridge for all the beer and all that crap. No one can be in there. Actually, my wife, her first show to see us was at the Machine Shop while she was pregnant. That was amazing. I don't know why I'm saying this except the fact that Kevin and the Machine Shop, my daughter's first onesie,
that's awesome,
is a onesie with the Machine Shop logo. It's like the only onesie in Keith. So it's amazing. You know, it's got like it's not a motorcycle club, but it looks like they're down. It's a suite. So we kept that. It's a pink motorcycle looking onesie.
How old is she now? How old is she now?
She turned six. She is already six in July. So she's six and now she's stuck in school and I have to drive her tomorrow morning. So don't keep me till 10 my time.
Oh, no.
I was born into rock and roll and I think I turned out just fine.
Yes, you were born into rock and roll.
She will be just fine.
I believe it too. She sings every cuss word I do too.
That's awesome. See?
And that was like at the
age. She will give the boys a run for their money.
Yeah, that was at the age of three. She was like singing, "It's Friday, funny. Bitches." And
what is she as a six? What does a 6 year old listen to, like in the like music wise?
Baby Shark. Doo-doo-doo-doo.
Is it Baby Shark?
Baby
or is
Shark.
It was, and that's a good call for sure. But it's been years. I mean, like like you asked earlier, you know, who mastered or who mixed the album. She's been listening to me with the wrong mix before I knew, you know, I've been working on this so long. She's been force fed the new record scissors down her throat. She'll sing along with it. There's a track.
At 6. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
No, this was like at 3. I've been working on this for so long. At the end of a track called No One Else to Blame, it's track 4 off Scissors. And like there's a whole kid chant the whole way through. The song stops. And there's a tiny little voice going, I have a question. Might be a statement or a question. That's my daughter.
No way. I had a note on that song too.
Yeah.
You know what? It'll be great the day that she walks in and goes, hey, don't take this the wrong way, but the compression on the kick, you need to tweak that.
That's cool. Like this Christmas is kind of screwed up because I'd never get a real kid. We live not a condo, but we're in an association where you can't make music, but I would play drums if I could, but I wanted to get her like an electronic kit, but because she's naturally good like I was. That's why I got a drum kit when I was like 4 from my mom, because I wasn't just air drumming and like, She noticed I was doing, you know, left hand on snares. Like she kind of picked up on that. So that's why she got me started into music. Like she just got me a drum kit and that just easy peasy.
What's the first drum cover you did? Like, do you remember the first one you did that you learned?
Awkwardly enough, not when I was that young of a kid, but when I got my first, you know, I took a break going to school, trying to do whatever you're supposed to do at school for a minute. But when I was like 12 or 13, when I got my first actual size kit, I remember getting the cymbal. It was a ride cymbal, had a huge bell, and of all things to try to do, it was Bonham. Not John, but his kid.
Jason. Oh, Jason, yeah.
Which song? Good.
Whatever goes down on the bell. Like I had to remember at this point, but it was Bonham's kid.
Hold on.
The solo record of Bonham's kid.
Was it the one from the was it 86 or something?
That's it.
I love that song.
And where is it?
I instantly knew how to play it because I saw the ride cymbal had a bell. I'm like, I think you hit that a couple times. Yeah. But so it was Bonham's kid. Of all things, it was Bonham's kid, not the great drummer. I guess Bonham's probably a good drummer, but who knows?
All I know is, you know, most of us got like a Fisher Price kit, maybe. And then you're like real drums, like I got the bell, boom, boom. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, that Fisher Price was when I was like 4, but the the actual Tama full kit and got a cymbal, like a real cymbal. I had cymbals, but there was like a big, thick ride cymbal that I could do the bell on. I'm like, what does this do? I'm like, oh, that's Bonham, sweet.
That's fantastic. Well, you mentioned the song. One of the songs, because we're all about the music, is No One Else is to Blame. I think this song is absolutely incredible. And awesome. I want to play a little bit of this for everybody. The entire song is amazing, but you let me just do this. So I'm going to hit mute here. So here we I see what he's doing. That's funny. So let's do this. Let me reshare the screen. And here we go. This should go. Boom. So this is... Let me get this going here. Oh. That would help. That wasn't the right one. It's right here. Hold on. Slight technical thing here. Here we go. This should open up now. What am I doing? Help, but I know how to use the damn computer, right? There we go. And so you think that you need more friends? you mentioned the there it is. There is her cameo into the song at the very end, and she'll have that forever.
Yeah.
I don't know what was more entertaining, listening to the song or watching him do sound effects and pull on back string and hit the snare, pink it.
Exactly. That's who I am. I hear words like I'm not a singer naturally, so when I'm on stage, I just always do like hand signals. Like I don't know how to do something a little bit, but I always like portray what I'm saying. But no, that was my daughter at the end, and she's listened it so long, like I said, for so many years, that now when she hears her own voice, she's at the point probably when she was 3 or 4, she was like, oh, that's my voice. And now it's like,
right?
It's like me hearing myself sing. I'm like,
Steven, thank you for being here, man. Your music's incredible. I love this. Everyone needs to go out and get this new record. Scissors is out. Yeah. And get it. It's amazing. So keep up the great work, man. And when you got new music out, if you put out new stuff, we'd love to have you back.
Awesome. Absolutely. No, God bless you guys for wasting your time with me. I do appreciate it.
You were pretty entertaining just to watch you.
You're awesome.
You've done some quality stuff, so I appreciate this very much, and I mean that. So thank you.
No, you're welcome. Everyone,
thank you.
And thank you so much, man. Have a great night. Hey, you. Thank you so much. Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Have a good night.